We are now concluded with the Holy Spirit School. And it's just an amazing thing how we've been able to do that and to learn more about the grace and love of God through the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I thank you for all of you who tuned in and was a part of that. And I hope and pray that that you got something out of it. I know I did. I will always tell people, well, I don't know if you got anything out of my message today, but I preached myself happy. And I did. It reaffirmed the grace and love of the Holy Spirit in my life. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to pass that joy on to as many people as I could. And I hope and pray that you learn something from it and you can apply it in your own life. That was the whole purpose of doing the Holy Spirit School. But one of the things we talked about in those weeks leading up to the conclusion of the Holy Spirit School was holiness. Now, you hear people say, well, I am part of the holiness denomination. Well, that doesn't make you a holiness type of person. Because holiness means to be wholly dedicated and devoted to God, distinct and separate from the world's way of living, committed to right living and purity. Holiness, then, is the absence of sin and evil wrongdoing, and it is spotless, free from blemish. But, I love the buts in scriptures, the buts and the ifs, tell it all, but holiness is much more than the absence of sin. It's the presence of righteousness, purity, and godliness. So when we become a Christ follower, Christians, God makes us holy by forgiving our sins when we ask. And he looks at us as though we have never sinned. Thanks be to God. But while he sees us as holy, we have not perfected holiness. Because we must strive each day to be more like Jesus and be more holy. Only when we get to heaven will we be completely holy. So it's a process while we're here on this earth. So what does it mean to be holy and live a holy life? Well, Paul talked a little bit about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. And he was telling them, I'm writing to you who have been called by God to be his holy people. He made you holy by the means of Christ Jesus, just as he has done for Christians everywhere. You see, all who believe in Jesus Christ are made holy. We are brought into a state of holiness, not by what we do, but what Jesus did for us, cleansing us from sin through his forgiveness. So to be holy means that God looks at us as though we have never sinned. You know, just like that word justification, just as we never sinned. We grow into holiness by constantly learning the truth of the Bible and living out those truths. We grow into holiness by working hard to keep sin out of our life. Now, you're not working to get your salvation, but you got to work hard to keep sin out of your life. You have to make those conscious decisions every day, every moment, so that we can live a holy life. So how can we hope to do that? It seems impossible because on our own, it's not possible, for we're a sinful people. But we can give our bodies to God as an offering. You know, we call it a living sacrifice to him, and that helps us become holy. But holiness here on earth is not perfection. It's striving for purity. However, God promises that those who are believers will one day be perfect in heaven. That's what Wesley talked about. We'll never achieve holiness in this life, but we will be perfect holiness people when we get to heaven. But God knew, he knows everything, the future of our sins. And he ordered those sins to be set apart if we will ask for forgiveness, like into the deepest of the sea, never to be remembered again. Because he knew. And I think about this when I realized that whenever I was going to answer my call to go into ministry, I don't deserve to be in the ministry because I am a sinner saved by grace. But somehow God had allowed me to be set apart to this order we call ministers. But did you know that we are all ministers who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? We are called in the same way, and we are consecrated in the same way to His service. That's why we become a priesthood of all believers. It makes us all ministers of the gospel. So, it's something that we strive for. And it's not easy, but we have to strive for it. And we got to choose to be children of the living God. You know, God is the only one who is perfectly holy. And He is also living in a heavenly place that we call heaven. But you know, it's back in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 6:3, that scripture that says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory." So, we have to be ready to be able to do that. And Isaiah said an awful lot of things about the glorious home in heaven that God had prepared for us. So, we need to look on to, as I say, continue to look in the mark of the high calling, because if we only had this life to look forward to, we'd be a sorry bunch of puppies. I like that, what Paul said, but if we keep our eyes on the mark of the high calling, then we have something to look forward to. Oh, wow, what a promise! Eternal life, yes! We got to live there. And we must somehow rid our life of sin and become a sanctified people. That's what was accomplished through the great work that Christ did on the cross. So, what is the rewards of this holiness, preacher? Why do we even want to consider it? Well, I think it is to build us up an inheritance. What kind of inheritance? You have a will? I hope you do. Everybody needs a will so that whenever you're gone, those who are left behind will be able to know what your wishes are. But we also need to prepare our will to line up with God's will and accept Christ into our life, and guess what? It'll give us an eternal inheritance. Wow. You know, God created us to have fellowship with Him. That's why He created us. And then we're here, we're doing all this, and you know, the fellowship sometimes gets broken. And then He said, "Okay, you broke our fellowship, but, you know, I'll give you another chance." You know, He's a God of one chance, two chance, thousands and chances, and praise be to God, He don't give up on us. And then He realized, oh my goodness, they can't follow all these rules and regulations. I got to do something about that. And I don't know what to do. I sent the prophets, and they killed the prophets, and they chased them all around, and didn't listen to them. And then He got a thinking, I think. This was Ralphie thinking. I know how I can communicate with them. I'll become one like them. And God humbled Himself. And He came to this earth, just like we did. He didn't come down and say, "Whoop, here I am." No, He said, if I'm going to be like them, then I got to go into the world just like them. Through the virgin birth, He came. He came through the birth canal as a baby. And He grew in wisdom and stature, just like we do, as the scripture says. And He experienced everything that we experience. Rejection, love, grace, all those kind of things. And then He was able to share them with the people around. And they followed him, and they believed, and he did signs and wonders and miracles. But then the people said, the Romans especially, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, because they didn't like what he was doing. He was teaching people how to have eternal life, if they would only believe. But they persecuted him, so they crucified him. And whenever he gave up the ghost on that cross, the veil in the temple was rent in two, giving us direct access to the Holy Holies. No longer did we need those priests and those kind of people to talk to God for us. We have direct access. And then he went one further. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He broke the only bondage that Satan was holding over us, which was death. He rose to life again and was seen by many. And then he didn't stop there. He continued to say, okay, guys, I'm sending you one greater than I, the Holy Spirit, to give you to be able to help with the rest of the time you're here on this earth. And he did all that. Then he also said, well, I got to go back to heaven now. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. So, you know, pay attention to him. Learn and grow in the grace of God. The Holy Spirit will help you with this holiness thing. That's one of the rewards. And he didn't quit there. He said, but I'll be back. And that's what we look upon. And we have that, what we call the blessed hope, that Christ is going to return to set up his kingdom here on earth. If you read that little book of Jude, there's only, I don't know, 26 verses. There's only one chapter. And it says that when Christ returns, we who have been here on this earth and then went to heaven. Now, I'm thinking ahead because we're still here. But when we die and go to heaven, like all the saints before us. By the way, I'm recording this on All Saints Day as we remember all the saints that went before us. The world kind of twisted that Halloween thing around. You know, All Hallows Eve was last night. Today is November the 1st when I'm recording this. Anyhow, we have that wonderful promise of eternal life. And then when we do die and go to heaven, we're not really dead. We just go from one dimension to the other, and we are in heaven, and we will return with Jesus when he sets up his kingdom here on earth. That's one of the rewards of holiness. But you don't have to be perfect to do that. You just have to forgive and love one another and repent. I repent maybe 1,000 times a month. I don't know, maybe 1,000 times a day if the days are long enough. But you got to repent, and you got to be able to prepare your hearts and mind for the receiving of this blessed eternal inheritance. So when Jesus was here, and of course you know he walked everywhere he went, and at the end of the day they were tired, and him and the 12 disciples would stop and build a fire and cook and eat and fellowship, and then after dinner he went off to be by himself, and they were puzzled. They said, what do you go off by yourself for, Lord? Now, this is Ralphie's imagination. You know, during Holy Spirit school I talked about how I think sometimes in order to better understand Scripture we let our imagination help us. So I'm thinking, and then he came back and they said, why do you go out by yourself? And he said, I need to talk to the Father. Talk to the Father? Yeah, can we do that? He said, you sure can. Let me give you a prayer to line up with all of your prayers. As we come into a prayer of agreement with and for all the people that's on our prayer line, because you don't need a preacher. You don't need anybody. You just go and talk to God and bring your prayers directly to him. But this is the prayer that he taught in closing. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. hope and pray you had a wonderful day, and thank you for letting old Ralphie share his thoughts and prayers today. Have a good day.